Well, good Sunday evening to you all. This is Pastor Joe of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church coming to you on this beautiful Sunday evening. I pray you've all had a great day and are looking forward to hearing another word from the Lord. It's been a very busy day here at Pleasant Hill, but we do thank God for everything that is going on here at the church. I want to ask a question today. Have you ever heard of someone say that seeking God is the greatest thing one can do? Certainly all of us have, and in today's message we will see that David was anointed king, but as he did, he sought after the Lord. Why did he do this? Because he knew that the only way for him to be successful in his life was to seek after the face of God for the next decision in his life. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2, and I would like to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Pray with me quickly. Father, I pray now that you would bless the reading and the proclamation of your word. Lord, may it fall upon us anew and a refresh is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither I shall go up? And he said unto Hebron. And so David went up thither, and his two wives also, Abinoam the Jerahlezite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, That the man of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. And therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." So let's recap. Last time we were in this passage of scripture, Saul and his sons are now dead from the battle, and David now faces a time in his life that he had to make some very important decisions. He knew that he was next in line, and it was time to become king. So as this time in the history of the world takes place, I want to share a few things from this passage that reveals David's awareness of how important God's will and advice is for one's life. So I've entitled this message, The Anointing of David as King. And this will be part one. And there will be many parts to this, but this is part one. And it says here, first thing that we see is David prays for guidance. As he is anointed king over Judah, the first thing that he does, that David prayed to the Lord. And he prayed for two things. First, let's see here. It says, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying," here's the first thing, "should he return to Israel? He said, Shall I go up into the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up." See, this was a very important and intriguing question. Should he go back to the place that had been their home for so long? Or should he go somewhere else for a new start? There were still some that I'm sure that wanted David killed because of their relationship with Saul. But I love something that David did with his prayer, and something that I like to do in my own life. See, David was very specific in his prayer for guidance. He didn't ask, where should he go? But he said, where shall I go into the cities of Judah? David knew he needed to be there, but he asked God exactly where should he go. This was very specific. See, God already knows our desires, but he desires to hear from us and what we are desiring to be answered. See, there are specifics that I think we need to be detailed upon. One of the things that I prayed about was whether or not to marry Annika. You know, I'd been dating Annika for some time, and I really, really liked her. I loved her. And I prayed to the Lord that God would give me peace and to make sure that this was the exact person God had in store for me. And as I prayed, God gave me that peace. He gave me that joy. He gave me that comfort in knowing that I was making the right decision. And so, but I prayed specifically, I didn't pray for a wife. I prayed for if it be Annika, my wife, because I wanted a specific answer to my prayer. Also, another example that I prayed specifically about was Pleasant Hill. And if Pleasant Hill was the very church that God was calling me to. And certainly through situations and circumstances and the peace of God, I was able to comprehend the will of God for my life. And listen, I believe with all my heart that we need to be specific with our prayers. Yes, there are times that God does not answer our prayers in the way that we desire, but at the same time, I believe that we are called to be specific in our prayers. And as we do so, there will be many times that we will get specific answers back. And so the first thing that we see here as David prayed for guidance is that he prayed if he should go to Judah. Then God responds and says, go. He says there in verse 1, go up. And David said, now I have one more question. If he returned to Israel, where should he go? He said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Unto Hebron. And so, I love how he asked the Lord, where exactly should he go? He wanted to be in the center of the Lord's will. And I'm sure there were places that he may have rather went. I don't know. I know Hebron was very, very special to him. But once again, he knew his position in places the Lord desired for him to go. Thus, he began his travel to the wonderful land that the Lord was calling him to. And so as he prayed, and God answered his prayer by telling him to go to Hebron, we see that as David moved, he moved to Hebron in verse 2. So David went up thither, and then he says, and he took two people with him, his two wives, Ahinom and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. So, as the Lord told him to go to Hebron, you know, this is a very exciting time for him because this meant that he could go back to his homeland. As one wrote, hearing that he could now freely return to his homeland was bound to arouse excitement and great hope within David, for he had been a fugitive for over 7 years. Being forced to flee for his life and to move from place to place, never being able to settle down and live in peace. But now he could return home safely, settle down, and begin the task for which he had been appointed, that of as a king over God's people. So this was certainly a very exciting time in his life. Now, as I thought about that, you know, I think of it as like a soldier coming home from a line of duty. At this moment, I have a dear friend who is a Marine, and he just left last week for Japan. And he is scheduled to be there for the next 3 years, not 3 months, but 3 years. Now, I believe there will be a few times where he'll be able to come home, but they will only be for small periods of time. And it won't be for a lot of time at all. And he's already stated that he's excited for the next 3 years to be up. You know, I imagine this is kind of the way that David felt about going back to Hebron. He could not wait to get back there, since the place meant so much to him. And so we see that David moved back to Hebron. And then we see, as I read, David took his family with him. David took his family with him. We see that David chose to take with him, as it states in the latter part of verse 2, his two wives. Now, obviously, it was his duty as the husband to make sure the family was taken care of. And thus he did what any man should do and make sure that his family was with him. And I'm sure this meant his kids were with him as well. So not only do we see that he took with him his kids, but we also see that all of his men were with him as well in verse 3. It says, "And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron." Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible states, "Obeying the instructions of the Lord, David took his two wives and his 600 men with their families and moved to Hebron in the tribe of Judah. And they settled in Hebron and its surrounding towns. Hebron was an ideal location for David to reestablish himself in Israel. The city had a distinguished history in that it had been conquered and had become part of the inheritance of Caleb and later established as one of the cities of refuge, meaning that it was a safe haven for any person falsely accused of murder. Hebron was also centrally located within the territory of Judah, about 20 miles south of Jerusalem, an ideal location for becoming the capital of Judah during the early years of David's reign." So, this was a great testament of the influence that David had on these people. If they were willing to follow him wherever he went and take their families, then you know he had a major impact on their lives. And so we see here that David goes, he moves to Hebron. We see that David took his family. And then thirdly, we have seen that David took the men of Judah with him, and they accepted him as God's anointed. Well, as he gets there, verses 5 through 7 teaches us one more thing. And that is that David attempts to enlarge his territory. David attempts to enlarge his territory. And what does he do? Well, we see that David sent messengers to Jabesh-Gilead. David sent messengers to Jabesh-Gilead. And as he did a few things. He first told them that he commended them for their loyalty to Saul. Look at me in verse 5. "And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him." So David commended them for their loyalty to Saul. Now, one thing that is critical to remember is their loyalty to King Saul. They were the very ones that were so nice to Saul and risked something happening to them in order to get his body back. See, they saw the importance of doing the right thing and giving him a proper burial. David came to them and commended them for their work. And I'm sure that this was hard for David because of all that Saul did to him. And I'm sure it really hurt him to commend them for being so nice to Saul. But David did. Why? Because he loved the Lord God. He loved the Lord God more than anything else. And so David commended them for their work as they were loyal to King Saul. And as they did so, David said this in verse 6, "And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you." So what was he saying? He was reasoning with them about the faithfulness of the Lord. He was stating that as long as they have been faithful to the king before, the Lord will be faithful to them. And I'm certain that this brought much joy and peace to them. David was giving them encouragement for doing the right thing. And you know, as they did the right thing, David says, now God will take care of you. And God would certainly take care of them if they followed David as king, because David was God's anointed. And so David says, hey, listen, God's going to take care of you. But then thirdly, he says this. He offered them a bond of friendship. He says, and I also, because God will show kindness to you, he says, and I also will requite you this kindness because you have done this thing. See, David desired for them to be a part of his life. He wanted them to be a part of his kingdom. Why? Because they were a loyal people. And that was the kind that David desired to have in his corner. David was smart in doing so because he needed all the manpower that he could if he desired to have a major army and a major backing. So he sought those out. I believe it is a good idea to seek people that will uplift and build you up. But see, there was only one problem. There was one problem to the friendship, and that is they had to follow David as king. See, look with me in verse 7. David tells them here, God's going to show you kindness. I will show you kindness, but there's one thing you've got to do. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. What was he saying? They had to become supporters of David. He desired for them to accept him as the next king. He wanted to strengthen his territory, and he knew this would be a great start. However, there is one problem. And that is this, and it's not a problem yet, but it's a question that we all must ask. Would they accept him as their king? Would they accept him as their king? As the old saying is, that's the million-dollar question on the table. So, would they or would they not? You're going to have to wait till next week to find out if they accept David as their king. See, next week we will... In verses 8 through 11, we find out if they accept him as their future, as their king. So, may God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may he give you grace, is my prayer this week. May the Lord bless you until we meet again. As my dad used to say, whether it's here or there or in the air. May God bless you.